Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From ESPN, the SEC Network, and he does mornings on 94.5 in Alabama. Cole Kublik is with us. I don't know why I stumbled over that. How you doing, Cole? Thank you for joining us. Sorry, I just screwed up.
Hey, no, it's all good. No problem. It happens often. There's not too many people that nail Kublik. So
there is
good.
No excuse for it. I've said your name 1,000 times. I've never screwed it up until now, but these things happen. Anyway, Cole, how shocked, if at all, were you at Ohio State losing to Michigan last Saturday?
I was a little bit surprised, but I knew the matchup actually was one that there were some items, some things that Michigan could take advantage of to be problematic for Ohio State. I feel like the Ohio State tackles have been overrated for the majority of the season. There are a lot of people that just, I think, look how big, and they just think that they're dominant players, but they've had some issues, some concerns a lot of this year. We knew what Michigan was going to be able to bring off the edge. And then I think the other part of that was Ohio State had just not really fit the run very well for the majority of this football season. And when you put the tape onto the Ohio State defense, it's alarming how often you see defenders on the ground, not necessarily trying to make a tackle. And Michigan was going to have a chance to have some success moving the football on the ground, thus being able to take the air out of the game, control the game a little bit, slow the tempo of the game. Now, the tempo didn't really slow down because Ohio State got up and down the field most of the time offensively, but Michigan able to make more plays and able to control really the second half and the fourth quarter on offense of how that thing went. So a little surprised just because how hot it seemed that Ohio State's offense was, that Michigan was able to win playing that style game. But you did know there were some matchups that they might be able to take advantage of.
Colt, now Michigan's number two in the college football rankings. They're going to take on Iowa this weekend, the Big Ten championship game. How much of a chance do you give Michigan to actually win a national championship?
It'll all depend on the matchups, Dustin, but I do think that they have an outside shot here, and a lot of that's because what we just talked about with the style of ball that they play. I mean, there's no one who's going to physically overwhelm them at the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, not even Georgia. Now, do I think that the Michigan offensive line is just going to go, smash Georgia in the face defensively and, push Jordan Davis and those guys around? No, I don't think that's possible, but I think they could hold up better than the majority of the other offensive lines that we're talking about maybe being in the playoff. So I think the style of ball that they play lends them to maybe be a problem for certain teams and be able to match up better for certain teams than any other team would. I think the X factor for Michigan, if you're talking about getting through the postseason, is Cade McNamara. He's a kid that's really fun to watch. He's got some of that gunslinger inside of him. You can just see it. He hasn't had to carry a ton of the load for Michigan this year, but every now and then he drops some really nice throws in. But then every now and then you see him start to roll out and he goes sidearm and you're thinking, he'll throw some worm burner or he'll sail it up into the crowd. And you're thinking, dude, what are you doing there? So I think he has a little bit of that, bravado, that maybe too much moxie at times. It's not very often, but every now and then. But he also can be that guy that just drops a couple of passes in that you never expected to see. So whether they need him to be big and come through, like, I didn't expect him to put up the numbers he did against Michigan State, even though that's the worst pass defense in college football. I didn't think they would need him to have to go out and do that. So I think McNamara the X factor, and because physically Michigan could match up with just about any team that would get in front of them, I'll give them a more realistic chance than a lot of other people do to actually be able to get through three postseason games and win a national championship.
Cole, is Cincinnati definitely in with a win, or if they win but Oklahoma State, Alabama, and Michigan all win, will they be out? And should they be out in that scenario?
I can't tell you that I believe 100% that they're in. I can't do it, because I think if that scenario that you laid out happens, it gets really murky right there at the number four spot, because you're not going to put a 12-1 SEC champion Alabama out. Georgia being the most dominant team throughout the entire regular season at 12-1, whose only loss was to that Alabama team, out. Michigan Big Ten champs, obviously in. And Cincinnati then would be sitting there probably measuring their resume against a 12-1 Big 12 champion, Oklahoma State. And here's the weird thing about it. Oklahoma State's resume is a lot better than people want to give it credit for. Their overall opponent record is better than Georgia, better than Michigan, better than Alabama, better than Notre Dame, better than Baylor. They have 5 wins against teams that are above 500. They have 2 wins against teams that have 10 wins on the season. Baylor's the only other team that can say that. Now, Cincinnati's the only team that can say they have a win against an 11-win team. But Cincinnati's opponent record of teams that are in the Power 5 that they've defeated, 13-11. And they've only knocked out 2 Power 5 opponents. So, and their overall opponent record is 58-72. I think it would be a very intriguing conversation. Cincinnati obviously would be a conference champion as well, but I think there's a chance still that Oklahoma State would slide in, especially if that's a convincing win. The problem for Oklahoma State is, how much credit do you get for beating a team again? And people can say, oh, it's so hard to do. It's so difficult. Well, more times than not, in a repeat game, the team that won the first game wins. And you can go find your single games or 2 or 3 games where it hasn't happened. I get that. But more times than not, it doesn't take place. So I don't know how much credit, how much credo the committee is going to actually give Oklahoma State just knocking off a Baylor team that they've already defeated this year.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And if there is crazy chaos, we were discussing before, somebody called and said there's still a possibility for Ohio State to get in, and we were trying to look for that scenario, like if Michigan, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma State all lost, and then we thought, well, maybe Notre Dame, Baylor, and Oregon would get in. I don't know, but if they won. But do you see any scenario where Ohio State still gets in?
I don't. I mean, I'd have to, I guess, run some of those wacky scenarios that you're talking about. But I do think it's interesting to just, like, not go too far down that road.
Yeah.
And begin to have a discussion about, you know, if Alabama wins and Michigan wins, you know, all the different things that could then happen after that, with either Cincinnati losing or Cincinnati winning and Oklahoma State winning. Because, you know, with Georgia and Alabama assured spots in, and then Michigan assuring themselves a spot in, you know, that could be interesting. And then if Georgia wins and Michigan wins and everybody else loses, then what the hell are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, that's the scenario that I think you guys are sort of, you know, beginning to go down the path of.
Yep.
Is that, okay, we know Georgia and Michigan are in, but everybody else lost. You bumping Notre Dame up, you bumping Ohio State up.
Right. How would you put an 11-1 Notre Dame over 11-1 or 12-1 Cincinnati when they beat them?
That's the really wild debate, because the resumes are not close, but obviously the head-to-head belongs to Cincinnati.
Right.
And I mean, you're going to take a Cincinnati team that just lost? Notre Dame's been rolling here in the second half of the season. Now, their resume's taking some hits. They've only defeated 3 teams that are above 500, so they don't really have a lot to brag about on that resume. They did about 4 weeks ago, but it. I mean, what's your best win? Wisconsin? Purdue? I mean, that's what Notre Dame's hanging their hat on right now, to go to the committee and say, oh, yeah, we're banging on the drum. We deserve to be in if all those things happen. You got Purdue and Wisconsin as your games that you're going to go to them and say, yes, put us in because of this. I mean, you're not gonna go hang your hat on the fact that you lost to a certain team. You want to go talk about who you won, and that's why you should deserve to get in. So I think that would be an absolute mess that the committee would have on their hands. And I have no idea which direction they would go.
Cole, did you have a problem with Brian Kelly this week leaving Notre Dame high and dry in bolting for LSU?
I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I do question it. You're probably a lot like me, Dustin. There's not a lot that's really going to bother us. Like, we're not going to really get extremely mad about a whole lot of things. Like, I know Oklahoma guys that are, I mean, they're like really mad at Lincoln Riley. Some Notre Dame folks that are really mad at Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, I don't think people put themselves in those situations, and maybe it's just because their line of work, they don't really ever believe that there's an opportunity that something better will come along and somebody's going to try to steal them away from their current employer. But if you start talking about adding that much money to your salary and putting yourself in that much better of a situation, at least for a lot of people, that gives you a chance to succeed at the level that you dream about succeeding, I think a lot of folks would probably do that. Now, you know, how he handled the meeting, the timing of when he told them, all those different things. I mean, I just the thing that bothers me about it is you're a part of a team. You should want to finish with your team. My brain doesn't comprehend why you wouldn't want to do that. And I think the perfect example is Billy Napier. I mean, Billy Napier is coaching Louisiana Lafayette this weekend in the Sun Belt Championship game. He's not going in there having conversations with his staff every day. And I know guys on that staff. And he's not going in there saying, we're going to do this, we might do that, we might do this. He told Florida, I'm your head coach. But guess what? I got a week and a half that I got to go try to win a championship. And these kids have fought their ass off for me. So I'm going to go in there and help them try to do that. And then I will become your head coach. And we'll figure it out from there. This is not going to be the end-all, be-all of Florida football if I take 8 days to go try to win a Sun Belt championship. I don't understand why that could not have happened. LSU's recruiting class is not falling apart in 8 days. Brian Kelly has enough people around him to help organize how to make a few phone calls and go out there and do that. So ultimately, am I all mad at him? Am I going to sit here and call him classless and, you know, say that he's a coward and all these other things that the other media people are saying? I don't need to say that because I understand the business portion of it and why he made the move. But my brain just does not understand why, as a member of a team, the leader, the director of a team, that you could have it in you to walk away from them when he did, when there is an actual chance that they could be playing for a national championship.
Cole, you live in the SEC every single week. Is LSU a better job than Notre Dame, or was it just about the money?
Define better job. Give me the context on better job.
I mean, well, I guess it's hard to say. I mean, you get better. Are you going to be able to get better players? Do you have better facilities?
Yes.
Is it something that's looked upon by the media and other coaches as a better, like, if you're a coach in college football, do you look at LSU versus Notre Dame and say, damn, LSU is a way better job than ND?
I think if your ultimate goal is to win a national championship and you want every possibility, every resource available to be able to go out and do that, LSU is a better job. They just fired a coach that won a national championship, and they fired the previous coach that won a national championship. Why? Because it ended up being that those coaches weren't that great, honestly. I mean, at being head coaches, maybe they were good at some other things, but they weren't elite at being a head coach. Brian Kelly's proved that he's elite at being a head coach. He won at Central Michigan. He won at Cincinnati. And he had five consecutive 10-win seasons at Notre Dame, which I think a lot of folks right now forget. And the other thing about Cincinnati is, you guys know this better than I do, I mean, when Brian Kelly took over Cincinnati, it's not the Cincinnati we talk about right now. It's just not. It wasn't. He helped make that. He got that plane on the runway to be able to help take off and become what Cincinnati is now. Also, right around the time that he took over Notre Dame, were we not talking about Notre Dame in the same context that we talk about Nebraska and Miami and Texas and USC right now? And that, true. Yes, we know they had that greatness at one point, but it doesn't really look like they're ever going to truly get it back. But he got them pretty damn close. So I think Brian Kelly has proven that he's a coach that can go out and win, and he's a championship caliber coach. There are just things at Notre Dame that are going to prevent you from being able to go out and do that, that you will not run into at LSU. And I think your access to better players is easier and more plentiful if you're the head coach at Louisiana State University. Now, if the context of your question is lifestyle, then maybe Notre Dame's a better job. I know it still has the same kind of pressure, but the people that you're dealing with, the expectation, the kind of kids you're going to have to recruit, maybe it is a little bit easier from that perspective. Maybe some people don't want to live in the snow for 4 or 5 months a year.
Yeah.
Maybe other people look at LSU and they're like, dude, I don't want 180% humidity for 5 months out of the year. That's gross. I don't want to sweat walking to my car to unlock it. Like, get me out of here. So the context does matter, but ultimately if it's who gives me the better chance to win a national championship, guys, that's been proven in the last 5 or 6 years that it's LSU.
All right, who's Cole Kublik's favorite to win the Heisman?
I hate this game because there's guys that I want to win it, and there's guys that I would vote for win it. Like, I would have had Quentin Nelson number one on my ballot his final year at Notre Dame.
I remember that. You were on our show talking about him.
Yeah, I would have had Quentin Williams number one on my ballot at Alabama a couple of years ago. Like Tyler Linderbaum at Iowa would be on my ballot this year. It'd probably be him, Jordan Davis, and Will Anderson on my ballot this year. And that's actually not a joke. So my favorite to win it, as far as who do I think that the people who have it in their Twitter handles that they're Heisman voters will vote for, I think that will be Bryce Young. But who do I wish would get it? I think it's Will Anderson. Because when I watch Will Anderson perform, I don't think anybody in college football impacts the game as much as he does in a more meaningful way. And it is absolutely terrifying to think about what that Alabama defense would be without him on the field this year.
Good stuff.
Well, we appreciate the time, man. Great stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, always good to be with you guys. Look forward to doing it again soon.
You too. Cole Kublik.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.